Thanks for joining us for the weekend edition of In Spirit and Truth with Pastor J.D. Farag of Calvary Chapel, Kaneohe. Each Friday and Saturday here on In Spirit and Truth, Pastor J.D. gives a Mideast prophecy update from an Arab perspective as he connects the dots of current events geopolitically with last day's prophecies biblically. It is our belief that the next event on God's prophetic clock is the rapture of the Church of Jesus Christ. It is our hope that these Bible prophecy updates will not only ready you and steady you for His return, but that they will also encourage you to share the gospel with others in order that the rapture will not be as a thief in the night. Pastor J.D. has shared with us before and will share with us again today. The obvious hook in the mouth of those surrounding the nation of Israel is the massive cache of natural gas and oil that has been discovered in Israel. We'll learn today why Russia has a serious problem with Israel exporting natural gas and why they will stop at nothing to thwart Israel's export efforts. Now, don't forget to stay with us after today's prophecy update to learn how you can become a Facebook friend or watch the weekly prophecy update on YouTube. Now, here's Pastor J.D. with today's prophecy update as shared on April 9th, 2017.
Haney said Asa did this because he thought he could get away with it. He thought he could get away with it because he knew Russia would have his back. The ambassador stated that, along with Iran, the Russian government bears considerable responsibility for the deaths, having used its veto at the UN Security Council 7 times to shield the Syrian regime from hostile resolutions. We're going to talk about more in a moment why it is that Russia absolutely must keep Bashar al-Assad in power. The very existence of Russia is at stake. And that's why. The article goes on to say, in a 17-minute speech, Russian envoy Vladimir Safronkov called the U.S. airstrike, no surprise here, a flagrant violation of international law. Forget that the use of chemical weapons is a violation of international law. And an act of aggression. Adding that, and here's the threat, the consequences of this action for regional and international stability could be extremely serious. Remember, fighting words. He also stated that Russia supports, get this, an investigation into the chemical attack instead of unilateral military action. According to the Russian envoy, the Syrian regime should be presumed innocent until proven guilty. Here's the problem with that. It sounds good, doesn't it? Sounds right, but they've already heretofore been, past tense, proven guilty. There's no presumption of innocence. The verdict's already in. The jury's not out. They are guilty, period. Of course, Russia doesn't want us to believe, the world to believe, that this was Assad. In fact, they want us to think that it was the Syrian rebels, not Bashar al-Assad. And by the way, to those who would say Assad has nothing to gain by using chemical weapons, think about that. There are a number of reasons why Bashar stands to gain by the use of him using chemical weapons on his own people. One of them is to further this propaganda, this narrative, that it's the Syrian rebels. And it seems to have finally, because of this U.S. president, and I'll add Nikki Haley, it seems to have backfired on them. This tactic, this propaganda has seemingly backfired on them. Well, it seems that, according to Fox News, Russia is doing more than supporting an investigation into this chemical attack. They're also sending a warship toward our 2 U.S. Navy destroyers that launched the missile strikes into Syria. Get this. The ship that Russia sent, probably there by now, was near the Black Sea Straits, left on a voyage after stopping for supplies and taking part in a joint exercise with Turkish ships. And oh, by the way, Russia, Iran, Turkey, et al., they are all on Bashar al-Assad's side. Now think about that. Let that sink in. Well, speaking of Fox News, we actually have an online member that works at Fox News in New York and has become a friend of mine since she visited us here in Hawaii about a year ago. I mention this because she has given me permission to share with you some of the information that she's been keeping me apprised of. She sent me what's known as a travel pool report, which came from a pro-Israel friend of hers who, as it turns out, is now the press secretary for the aforementioned Nikki Haley. How cool is that? And I got it first. Okay, never mind. Is that pride we were talking about in 2 Corinthians? Is there a lightning bolt behind me yet? If there is, would you just let me know? Here's some of what the report had to say concerning Syria. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson said future actions would be guided by their response to the strike. He said the strikes were successful and that they took out 20% of the 7th Wing of the Syrian Air Force. Tillerson said, I don't have any information that would be appropriate to share at this point on the question of Russia's possible role in Syrian gas attack. Tillerson said Trump told, and this is where it's kind of humorous, China's president personally about the airstrikes toward the end of the dinner, presumably before dessert, about 8:40 p.m. The president told him how many missiles launched and the rationale behind the strike. Tillerson said he heard that China's president understood that such a response was necessary when people were killing children, but he said that official response had also come through public statements from the Chinese. Yesterday, she also sent me this release from the White House Office of the Press Secretary, which was a readout of Trump's call with King Salman bin Abd al-Aziz al-Saud, try to say that three times real fast, of the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. Quoting the readout, President Donald Trump, by the way, keep in mind that this last week, talk about multitasking. He's launching strikes in Syria. He's hosting China. He's hosting Jordan. He's talking with Saudi Arabia. And I think I'm missing about two more in there, all just in the last 1 week. Well, anyway, President Donald J. Trump spoke yesterday with the custodian of the two holy mosques, speaking of Mecca and Medina in Saudi Arabia, King Salman bin Abd al-Aziz al-Saud of Saudi Arabia. The king reaffirmed strong Saudi support for the United States. What? Saudi Arabia is reaffirming strong Saudi support for the United States? Wow. Hang on to that. We'll come back to that. Some of you know exactly where I'm going with that. The military strike against the Sadiyat airfield in Syria, and he thanked the president for his courageous action, which both agreed was a necessary response to the horrible chemical weapons attack on innocent civilians. Both leaders underscored their personal commitment to strengthening the long-standing relationship between their two countries, that's the U.S. and Saudi Arabia, and committed to remain in close contact on a range of regional and bilateral issues. Okay, I think the question that needs to be answered now is, what's next? What's next? Where is this heading as lines are being drawn and red lines are being crossed and actually, now something's being done about the red line that's being crossed, and there's no impunity as there was before under one Barack Hussein Obama. I hope you'll kindly indulge me for the remainder of our time. I want to attempt to answer this question from the scriptures and from a prophetic perspective. What follows, I believe, is evidence that proves beyond a reasonable doubt that Isaiah 17 will be the catalyst for Ezekiel 38. It's important to understand that Syria has Iraq's weapons of mass destruction, and they're hid underground in, of all places, Damascus. Oh, wait a minute. I thought when we went into Iraq under George W. Bush that they didn't find any weapons of mass destruction. Well, no, they didn't, because Saddam Hussein had already gotten them to his buddy Bashar al-Assad in Syria under the guise of humanitarian aid. Those weapons of mass destruction had enough time to get to Syria, where they have been since then. Well, wait a minute. I thought that when Susan Rice got on TV and told us about, you know, why it's okay now because we have completely eliminated all of the weapons, the chemical weapons. Syria has no more chemical weapons. Kind of sounds like something that went down in Benghazi, Libya. Oh, that's another topic. You'll forgive my cynicism. You'll forgive my cynicism. I'm just going to say it. You're going, nothing stopped you before, Pastor, so go ahead. All right? They are liars. They are liars. And their lies come from the father of lies, the devil himself. They are lying. This is not incompetence. This is deliberate deception. It is deliberate deception. Okay, I feel better now. Let's move on. Prophecy update already in progress. By the way, this is why Israel has launched airstrikes into Damascus over the last several months. Israel is doing this chiefly to prevent the Islamic State from getting their hands on those weapons. Because we know what the Islamic State would do with those weapons. They would eliminate, at least try, they won't succeed. They will try to annihilate Israel completely off the face of the earth. I find it rather interesting that according to the King James, Isaiah 17:1 says, "The burden of Damascus, behold, Damascus is taken away from being a city." Taken away from being a city. Hang on to that. "And it shall be a ruinous heap." Now, why do I point that out? Because it suggests that the weapons in Damascus are taken away, and as such, the city itself will cease from being a city and become a ruinous heap. And it's for this reason that Russia is doing everything it can to keep Assad in control of Damascus. Here's the reason. God has put hooks in their jaws to come against Israel, to take from Israel its natural gas. Already, Israel is beginning the process of exporting. We're talking big bucks. It's natural gas to Russia's customers. And Putin isn't going to let that happen, or at least he thinks he can stop that from happening. You have to understand that this is what Putin is after. And Syria is the catalyst by way of Syria to get into Israel, according to Ezekiel 38, to take that spoil, that oil, that natural gas. Without it, Russia would collapse. And in days. Russia would collapse in days. absent its ability to export natural gas. That's how the country stays afloat economically. I don't have time to read. I wanted to read verses 1 through 13 in Ezekiel 38, but let me just quickly mention two details here. First, we have this detail of this hook in the jaw that God himself puts in the mouth and brings them against Israel. And it's for the purpose of taking this spoil. But it's in verse 13 that we have a very interesting detail. And this is what I was referring to and why I share the readout on the call from Trump to Saudi Arabia. We have this mention of Sheba and Dedan in verse 13 of Ezekiel 38. And this is the ancient name for the modern day area we know today as Saudi Arabia. Now, the merchants of Tarshish is up for debate. Some believe it's the UK. And if it is the UK, then the young lions, which is the symbol of the UK, the young lions would be potentially the US. Now, if you think about this, and especially on the heels of the stunning Brexit vote last year, if it is the UK, and it is, of course, Saudi Arabia, and if there is a very nebulous mention of the US, then it would stand to reason that verse 13 of Ezekiel 38 is coming perfectly together at the exact perfect time. Because all they do, all Saudi Arabia, the UK, the US, all the above, all they do is protest this alliance of nations with Russia, Iran, Turkey, Libya, all of these nations that come together and attack Israel to take this spoil. They only protest it. And if that's the case, boy, it's, I don't know how much clearer it would need to be. Well, bear with me just for a couple more minutes. I'll try to bring it to a close. For many years now, I've held to the belief that once Isaiah 17 is fulfilled, it will become a trigger of sorts that brings about the fulfillment of Ezekiel 38 and 39. Now, with the U.S. strikes in response to Syria's chemical weapons attack, I truly believe that this brings that likelihood to the forefront now more than ever. And again, I don't want to come off as being sensational, but when I say this particularly, I'm not saying that it is going to happen now. There is, I believe, the possibility that Russia will back down. There's already an indication by one report that they're kind of, you know, backing off. And now that they've actually seen a U.S. president act like a U.S. president, and so they're kind of, you know, backing off. I mean, that's possible, but conversely, it's also not to say that it's not going to happen now. There is quite a bit of momentum, it would seem, and I would venture to say that it's very possibly an unstoppable momentum. Here are three reasons, real quick, that what happened last week may in fact be the beginning of the Isaiah 17 fulfillment, and with it, the Ezekiel 38 fulfillment. Reason number one, Damascus is seemingly on the cusp of becoming a ruinous heap vis-a-vis the Russian threat of war in response to the U.S. strikes. Reason number two, we've talked about this over the years. Syria, Lebanon, Egypt, Jordan, Iraq, and particularly, as we just mentioned, Saudi Arabia, are not mentioned in Ezekiel 38 as attacking Israel. And to a nation, every one of them right now is sort of a non-player as it relates to this Ezekiel 38 attack. And then reason number three, the nations that are mentioned in Ezekiel 38 are today at the ready in their alliance to attack Israel via Syria. It's all coming together perfectly. I want to, in conclusion, ask this one question. Were Russia to respond to the U.S. missile strikes in Syria, Is it possible that the fate of Damascus has been sealed? Is it possible that we are about to witness the fulfillment of Isaiah 17? I truly believe that we are on the verge of that which we are told in God's word would come to pass at the time of the end. It is coming to pass now. Before we bring our time together to an end, I want to give those who have never called upon the name of the Lord to be saved an opportunity to do so. I've been using and sharing this ABCs of salvation as of late because I'm finding that not only are people coming to Christ as a result, but Christians are using this as a tool to share the gospel with non-believers because it's just something that is so childlike simple. In Matthew 18:3, Jesus said, "Verily, I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." This is the childlike, simple explanation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the ABCs of salvation. Very simple. The A is for admit, or if you prefer, acknowledge that you're a sinner. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. When you admit and acknowledge that you're a sinner, then you know you need the Savior. And that's where the B comes in. It's simply believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. And this brings the C, and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he was crucified, buried, and rose again from the dead. And the Bible says in Romans 10:13 that all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Why don't you all stand and we'll pray. And as we do, I want to give those of you that are here and those of you online an opportunity to simply call upon the name of the Lord, believing in your heart, confessing with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, this is certainly an exciting time to be alive, that chosen generation, that final generation that will be alive at the time of your return when you rapture your church before the seven-year tribulation. Lord, we really, truly believe that our redemption draws nigh. But we're also keenly aware of those who have not called upon you, those who are not ready for you. And so, Lord, I just pray that if there's anybody here in this wonderful church that is my privilege to pastor today that has never called upon you, or someone watching online from somewhere, anywhere in the world that has never called upon you, that today would be the day of their salvation, that they would surrender to you and call upon you, put their faith and trust in you. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for joining us for this special edition of In Spirit and Truth with Pastor J.D. Farag of Calvary Chapel, Kaneohe. Now, it's so important that you hear the purpose behind these prophecy updates that Pastor J.D. shares. The purpose is to see people just like you come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. When you're right with the Lord, you'll be ready for the Lord and His soon return. You can do this by first admitting you're a sinner, that you've broken God's perfect law. Second, you need to confess that there's nothing you can do to fix this. You can't attend church enough, you can't pray enough or give enough money. There's nothing you can do to atone for your sins. Third, you must realize that there is someone who can. His name is Jesus Christ, and He is the Savior of the world. He gave His own life so that you wouldn't have to experience the penalty for your sins, which is death. Please, if you're listening today, receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior and escape the realities of the prophecies that are being fulfilled all around you. For more information about what it means to be born again into the kingdom of God, log on to inspiritandtruthradio.com and select the New Believers option. Again, that web address is inspiritandtruthradio.com. Now, in the next edition of In Spirit and Truth, Pastor JD will be teaching through God's Word, just like he does Monday through Thursday. And then don't forget to join us next Friday and Saturday for another timely prophecy update. Until then, may God bless you and keep you in his love.